Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Beautiful stuff there. And Ndabezi Nhlenqolo is already on the line. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, my brother, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yeah, hope that your day has been fine so far.
So far, the day has been pleasant. Mm. God is good to me. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah, no, God has been good this side as well. We are grateful to have arrived on this particular preparation day. And of course, the Sabbath is upon us, and that's what exactly we are talking about. Beautiful to be talking about the Sabbath as we are actually approaching the Sabbath. And you know, in the 1800s, there was a religious revival among Protestant Christians. This movement was led by a group of Baptist and Methodist ministers. They proclaimed the soon coming of Jesus, and the message quickly spread through their congregations. Now, how did this movement lead to the formation of the SDA denomination? But before we get to that lesson on the foundations of our church, we need to actually discuss, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? How does one do that even?
Now, I think the Bible helps us to unpack the question that you've just asked, my brother, because the word holy means set aside for God's express use. I'm very careful with the words that I'm picking. Set aside for God's express use. In other words, God is the one who sets something aside, and then he defines for what use he has set it aside. And because it is God who has set this aside, everything that is a creature has no say in what God has set aside. That's the first thing that we need to understand, because then it sets the tone for answering that question.
Okay, all right.
Yes. So, like we were saying yesterday, God decided to place his signature of his identity and authority in time, because of all the beings, the intelligent beings that we have in the universe, there is only one who is not a servant to time, and is God. The rest of us are servants of time. All of us have a beginning, and if God so wills, all of us can have an end. If God so wills, the others can live forever. But everybody that is a creature has a beginning, thus making them a servant of time. God has no beginning, he's got no end. So now, based on what I've just said, the Bible is clear in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then it states how to do so. 6 days you shall labor. In other words, every time the week begins, we know it's a time for labor, for active, a secular engagement, where we pursue the things that please our hearts. For 6 days. That's the concept that the weekend is 2 days is warped. A weekend cannot be 2 days. A weekend must be a single day, because the weekend ends on that one particular day. So 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Then the Bible says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In other words, this is the day the Lord has set aside for his express use. How so? In it you shall not do any work. Then it defines who shouldn't do the work. You, the Lord is talking to the heads of households. You, your son and your daughter. So meaning to say, a man and his wife, a man and his helpmeet. Them, their children, your servants, anybody who works in that particular household, and all the animals that are in that house should not be sent to do any work, including people who are visiting that particular Sabbath-keeping family. And in that sense, what are they doing when they have stopped their work? The Lord reminds them, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all of that, you know, and then rested on the Sabbath day. So the only reason the Lord is giving us for setting that day aside, for stopping every work that we are supposed to do, in order to concentrate our attention on his rest, because he is inviting us into his rest. In that sense, we are keeping the Sabbath day holy. Or should I say, the day is keeping us in God's holiness.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is fantastic. You actually explained it and gave us a background as to what it means to keep the Sabbath holy, and of course, how exactly one does that. I'm just wondering, because you are talking about how to keep it holy, and I see people going to churches and synagogues, spending the whole day there, and it looks like there's nothing like that in how you advise we should keep it.
There's absolutely nothing like that. You're quite right, my brother. Going to the synagogue or a church building for convocation is not meant to be an entire day's engagement, because the attention span of a human being for formal engagement in terms of listening to a speech or a sermon is only that much. The greater essence of keeping the Sabbath day holy involves stopping our secular activities so that we can actually meditate on God's goodness for us. Mm-hmm. So one of the first reasons is, it's like God is making a date with these intelligent creatures to say, lest you forget that I'm God and you are the creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Have a time out every seventh day so that you remember who I am. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we connect with God. That's where the holy convocation comes in. Because when we're together in fellowship, singing songs of worship and listening to messages of encouragement and so forth, we're spending time with God. But now God is not the only being with whom we interact. It's also a family day. Families need to spend time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Implying after the 2 or 3 hours of different services, usually most Christian groups have between 2 to 3 services for convocation. When that is done, then families need to spend time with each other. So meaning to say, those people who do not have their families together with them can be invited by those with families to join them in the respective family fellowships. For example, have a powerful Sabbath lunch together. Beautiful, and listen to powerful, uplifting music. After that, take the children out for a stroll on the beach if you live by the ocean side, or you take them for a walk through the parks if you are living in wooded areas. And as you do that, you refrain from discussing all the secular things that were happening in the week. You are still concentrating on the goodness of God. That's how I understand it. You're quite right. Spending the whole day at church is a total misunderstanding of keeping it holy.
Yeah. Well, I got a question coming out for you +27 7347 035 20. Question for Elder Nxumalo. The commandment seems to focus more on what not to do. What exactly should we do while we are not working? Does resting mean we can also spend the day sleeping? That's the question from the line.
Yes. Like we had said when we began these discussions on Wednesday, the rest that we are alluding to here is a cessation from work. It does not mean you are resting because you are tired, because usually people who fall asleep are sleeping because they came to a point where they've become tired, and sleeping is a way of recuperating their energy. So, in the same sense in which God rested, meaning to say he ceased his active work of creating. And by the way, he has been in his Sabbath ever since, because he has not created anything new in the universe ever since that Sabbath day. He is also inviting us into his rest in the same fashion that let's be temperate in the way in which we do our projects during the course of the week, so that when today comes, like today is the sixth day, the day of preparation, by the time the sun sets when the Sabbath day begins, I'm not so tired that I am spending the whole Sabbath day sleeping. God is my actual active engagement. So one of the things we need to do is to be involved in holy convocation, like we picked up from Leviticus chapter 23. Even from the era before the cross, people were invited, come for convocation. The second aspect is to do with the fact that God ceased his active work of creation, but he has never ceased his active work of maintaining his creation. This is where the Jews misunderstood resting on the Sabbath.
Okay.
When Christ would heal people on the Sabbath. Okay. Meaning to say, if I find that somebody is in a life-threatening situation on Sabbath, I must be the first person, because of the spirit of rest on the Sabbath, to jump up and assist that person to preserve their life. Because preserving the life of fellow human beings is part of Sabbath keeping. In other words, I can visit people in the prison. I can visit people in hospital or in their homes who are sick. If I've been given the gift of medical intervention, I can actually be engaged in the ministry of healing on the Sabbath day, as long as I'm not drawing a salary remuneration for it. That's part of the spirit of doing something that is involved in rest on the Sabbath.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, can human beings have the power to make the Sabbath unholy?
Well, human beings do not have the power to do that, but human beings can break the Sabbath. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
In other words, what God has made holy can never be made unholy by a human being.
I see.
But being who refuses to accept the invitation to enter that holiness invites unholiness into their lives, because then they are no longer within a space where God's holiness can be imprinted upon them. That holiness is an invitation to enter into God's rest. So when I've not entered, then I am in a space where I've attracted unholiness into my character, into my life.
So would there be benefits then of entering into the Sabbath rest? I mean, I'm trying to think if there are at all, whether spiritual or non-spiritual.
Yes, let's begin with the non-spiritual one. And I'm just going to use one example that to me sort of like encapsulates all of them. All of them. I've discovered that the Sabbath significance, I can see, for example, within the colors of the rainbow, there are seven. That's not coincidence. All right. The pH of water. Water is a life-giving element, where Christ actually calls himself the water of life. The normal pH of water is 7, which is neutral. Water is should neither be acidic nor alkaline. 7. That's not a coincidence.
Okay.
That shows that God is showing us through other agencies around us that there is a benefit to understanding the significance of the Sabbath. And as we enter it, we start picking up these other things that are aligned with his rest. Okay. Then the other one has to do with the cycles in time. Like, for example, people in the era of the French Revolution who decided that they've had enough with the religious establishment, they are going to institute a formal 10-day week, because they are tired of religious people saying a week is 7 days long. They quickly discovered that they were beginning to fall sick and dying, and including their farm animals, were not functional if they were stretched to a week that was 10 days long. Within a space of a few years, they had to reverse back to having a week-long engagement. In other words, built into our biology is a cycle of working for 6 days and resting in one.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Now, I want to check with you if there is any significance at all of the Sabbath in the formation of the SDA denomination.
There definitely is, my brother. That's what I've discovered in my own personal search, because I also had to make a decision which kind of fellowship I'm joining. Because as soon as I recognized that there is God, okay, I was happy with that. But then I began to wonder, would there be any other people who have seen what I've seen? And this is what I've picked up about the formation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that ever since the dawn of the Dark Ages, where there was quite a lot of spiritual turmoil back and forth in those eras, in the Dark Ages, okay, a lot of some of this material that we've discussed in the last few days was more or less swept back into oblivion, so to speak, by what I would call church tradition, where people started putting their own themes into God's work in the church. So you will discover that, for example, in certain churches, people still want to say They want to respect the spirits of the deceased, and so they go and worship the spirits of their ancestors. At the same time, they want to carry their Bibles, and they say they believe in the God of the Bible. But the Bible does not teach that people who are dead are still alive, we should worship them. Now, similarly, even this principle about the Sabbath rest was all but forgotten, which is why some people, even up to today, believe that the Sabbath is on a Sunday, and that is not the case. As the Protestant Reformation then began, as people started reading the Bible for themselves, they began to reclaim the ground that was lost during the Dark Ages, bit by bit. And one of the last areas that they reclaimed was the truth about the Sabbath, which by the time the Seventh-day Adventist Church was formed, the Seventh-day Baptists were already formally recognizing the Sabbath day, apart from the Jews, of course, But for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in particular, a Seventh-day Baptist lady was instrumental in introducing the Sabbath doctrine to them through a gentleman called Joseph Bates, who was part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church before it was even formalized in 1863. So you are quite right. It's a very fun. And that's why actually the name of the church is as it is, Seventh-day, alluding to the Seventh-day Sabbath.
Yeah,
Adventists, those who are waiting for the second coming of the Christ of the Sabbath Church. Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I must say that we really have had quite exciting, conversations here together with you, especially about the Sabbath. And I do want to thank you so much for coming through, my elder. I do want to pray that the Lord blesses you, expands your territory, and of course increases your influence, and of course grant you this powerful rest we are about to get into. Thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your contribution here at AWR. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, my brother. And to God be the glory for giving us so much light such that we can have such fruitful discussions about it. Amen. The Lord bless you too and bless your listeners.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.